T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
There's that quote that's out there, you know, every pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, right? And every optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. That's pretty cool. And I think that when you go through something like that and you see it as a, that's look at it, look at the glass half full, right? Be positive about it. And so that's what winning does. That's the objective, is to win. It makes everybody in a better mood. And we're getting around the holidays now, and that's what we want, people to be happy.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I love a good optimist, pessimist quote.
Yeah, he's definitely been quotable this week. And the Bears at the podium they're on a roll, I guess. Although I would have liked, as Dustin pointed out, sounded like, you know, Mitch earlier in the week could have gone a little bit further toward making the sound like more than your average game, more than an ordinary game. Yep. It is the Packers.
Yeah.
It is something at Lambeau Field that is different than the rest of the games on your schedule.
We are broadcasting live from the Brat Stop as a result of this Wisconsin-Illinois battle, this Packer-Bears rivalry, which is going on
border forever. War.
Primordial enemies. I remember the old Packers press box. You'd have all that stuff, all the history of the battle between the Bears and the Packers and all that stuff. They crawled from the mud and fought each other. And we are presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. Visit KenoshaSubaru.com for details. Also, it is a Dunkin' Bears Friday. So we make a big deal about this every week because these games are sacred. And this is an elimination game, David. So not only could the Bears run afoul of the Green Bay Packers yet again, of Aaron Rodgers yet again, but it would effectively end their season.
Remember last week we said about the Cowboys, it's not necessarily who you play on your schedule, it's when you play them.
Yes, that's right.
And they got the Cowboys at the right time. The Bears did on a Thursday night at Soldier Field. I think they're getting the Packers at the right time. The Packers are 3-2 in their last 5 games.
Yeah.
And the teams that they've beaten haven't been very good. And the Bears are playing like every week is an elimination game. And there is some urgency attached to their approach. And I think that you have seen that. It's coincided with the fact that their quarterback's playing a lot more confidently. He's playing a lot freer. He's also being given a lot more ammunition and maybe more flexibility in the game plan to be who he has to be for them to win and move the ball offensively. So that to me is why. I'm not disrespecting Aaron Rodgers by saying the Bears could win this game. I think nobody can.
It's the NFL, and we see plenty of upsets, and the Bears getting 4.5 points doesn't mean a ton when you start figuring out these two teams. Now, here's the problem. The problem is the Packers' game plan the first time round worked very well. Now, maybe they have to shift and change the game plan a little bit, but only a little bit, because the idea remains to have Mitchell Trubisky play quarterback, not play running back. Play quarterback, not roll out. Mm-hmm. The idea is to keep him from being multidimensional. So if you keep him in the pocket and you turn him into a pocket passer, which is what they did in the first week of the season,
they did,
then he has a hard time playing.
But I think you have a lot more information at your disposal if you're Matt Nagy, and you have a lot more reason to doubt whether or not you can beat the Packers at their own game, if you will, because when you're going into week one and they recognize that approach and they're going to establish the edge, they're going to make him play quarterback, as the quote indicated, post-game, you're Matt Nagy going into the second season and you're thinking, well, fine, we invite that opportunity to beat you because I trust my quarterback, and he trusts him a lot less now than he did then.
See, what's very funny there is you said you have a lot more – you have a lot more information. You have a lot more understanding. What you're saying is you figured out what Mitch can't do.
You know what he can't do.
I don't know that you figured out what he really can do, but you know that he's much more likely to do it.
But to get that
if
answer,
you let him go.
You need the other information.
Exactly.
And they didn't have that information going into the season. They didn't play in preseason. They were basing a lot of this off hope and a prayer, and they went into this year thinking that he was going to take the step that he really didn't take until recently. You saw signs of progress. And why did you see them? Because he was being more in line with the kind of athletic quarterback that he is. So I think offensively, you've got an opportunity to continue to make this sort of growth.
Akeem Hicks playing.
Yeah.
How much better does that make the Bears? It makes them more the same as they were at the beginning of the year. Now, obviously, they're missing the two inside linebackers, but they nonetheless have the center of the field covered pretty well. They got a pretty good third linebacker.
Sure.
And you know, Kevin Pierre-Lewis did okay when he came in. He did fine when he came in an emergency situation.
He's more than capable. You know, not to go all meatball on you here, though, but I think see what Akeem Hicks brings in terms of just the mentality and the confidence and the approach, defense is an attitude. And when you have Akeem Hicks back in the middle of that defense, it gives you that, it restores that attitude that you're not going to give an inch. Yeah, the Bear swagger is back with Akeem Hicks in the middle of that defense. Now, here's the thing. The last time Khalil Mack played a game at Lambeau Field, how did that go? He wrecked it.
He can wreck a game.
And
like
he can wreck a game again. But you have Mack, and you have Hicks, and you have the other guy, Dustin's favorite, who actually plays well against the Green Bay Packers. Leonard Floyd, in 44 games against non-Packer opponents, he's got 11 sacks. In 7 games against the Packers, 7.5. Something happens when he sees the green and gold. I don't know what it is, but he could be in line for a big game because Hicks is back, the attention paid Mack, and Floyd is the guy you have to worry
about. I'm not arguing any of that. I totally agree with what you said. The Mack performance in that Packer game is as good as any you've ever seen. How did that game end? What was the end result of that game?
Everybody forgets that part.
He wrecked that game, they lost that game.
Isn't that the thing? The last time the Bears were at Lambeau, he wrecked the game.
He did.
They lost the game, and the Bears went home thinking they were good enough to win 12 games.
That's right. You know, that's what happened.
Because they convinced themselves that, hey, but this guy knows what he's talking about. Hey, look what we have on defense. The Bears lost the game but won a lot of credibility that night at Lambeau.
I really like that there was so much time between these games. Because it's a season opener, the Bears are at home, they're feeling like a million, they got everybody rested, that was their only priority, they are healthy, and they come out and they score 3 points, and they lose that game, and it was a terrible football game, and I guess it was a throwback game, it was, you know, reminiscent of games that were played in the early 40s, I don't know what you'd call it.
Before they modernized the forward pass.
Yeah, before the forward pass.
Yeah, right.
Before the T formation.
Yeah, right.
And what was that, 7-3? Was that the final score of that game? So now you come back here and you're going in, you're a totally different team. The Bears start the season 3-1, but it's kind of 3-1 with a little bit of an asterisk because you went out to Denver and that was like a freak show victory. They were more of a 2-2 struggling team, but they were legitimately 3-1 because the quarterback got hurt in week 3, and against the Vikings, they had this game plan of keeping him in the pocket, and then when the pocket passer came in, they didn't change anything, and all of a sudden, the Bears end up with maybe their best win of the year, unless you want to count the Dallas game. But the Dallas game, it turns out that was against a losing opponent because
they're now
below 500.
The Vikings game was early on, you know, a signature moment, but they came out of that game talking about the
85 Bears defense.
But they didn't take advantage of that. They got a little maybe, I don't know if they got full of themselves. I don't know what happened, but it wasn't good. And you know, the Broncos' win was fluky, but so was the Chargers' loss.
Okay.
So these things kind of even themselves out.
But the Chargers' loss was part of 4 straight losses.
Yeah.
And now the Bears come back, and I don't know that they've reinvented themselves. The schedule, you know, getting to play the Lions twice in 3 weeks was a big boon to them, right? Getting to play the Giants, they played the Rams and the Giants in between those games. That's a huge, huge boon for them. The Rams game didn't work out.
You could look at the schedule that way, but again, if you're the Packers and you look at the 3 victories you have since the beginning of November, those teams, the 5 teams that you played, are combined 10-29. They're not exactly beating teams on their schedule that are at the top of their division. They're bottom feeding as well. Everyone does that throughout the course of a season.
I'm talking about quarters of the season.
Yeah. If,
you know, a lot of teams will break the season up into quarters just to keep the players occupied and not worried about the big picture and all that stuff. So we're in the final quarter of the season, all of which, all four of these games the Bears have to win. They've managed to win one. Now they're on the road for the first of their two road games. The last game of the year, they'll go to Minnesota.
Now they will welcome the boos.
So,
and they won't have an adverse effect on them. But the Bears are coming into the fourth quarter, this phase of it, on a roll with momentum. And I think that is the confidence that you can't discount. That's what makes this different than week one. They had momentum and they had confidence because they believed that they were going to, you know, be –
Maybe they had overconfidence because it was not realistic.
I would say, that's what it was. It was overconfidence based on last season.
Yeah.
This confidence is based on a nice little win streak they put together the last 3 weeks.
Les Grobstein in the building. I just saw Les walk in. God bless you, Les. Always
Where's
a joy
the
to see you.
Security detail.
Yeah, that's funny, but we love having Les here, so leave him alone. we are going to bring in Nick Costos. Dustin has been in touch with him.
All right.
And he has asked him about some of the wagers out there in terms of individual performance. So hopefully we have some of that. We'll get his opinion on this Bears-Packer game and what the national viewpoint is, and we'll figure out if 4.5 points is enough. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I want winners.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. We are broadcasting live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha. Beautiful Kenosha, Wisconsin, presented by Kenosha Subaru, and the Subaru Share the Love event going live now through January 2nd. Get on it. And on the line is Radio.com sports betting insider and host of the You Better You Bet, Nick Costos. Insider calls brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019. And get your first refill pack for free. You can hear Nick on You Better You Bet every night on the radio.com app and website. Nick, thank you very much for joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Morning, Nick.
Morning, Nick.
Good morning, guys. What's going on, gentlemen? Great to talk to you and, of course, the great people of Chicago on this glorious Football Friday.
Yes, and, you know, it's a big weekend because whenever the Bears play the Packers, people seem to get very upset.
I guess so. I would imagine so, especially guys after what we saw back in week number one. And I love when people handicap this particular game and they're like, well, let's go back to week number one. Actually, let's not, because that game feels like it was like 9 seasons ago. The Bears-Packers game at Soldier Field in week number one. Let's talk about this one coming up this weekend on Sunday in Lambeau Field, where the Packers guys were 7-point favorites. Then the number came down to 5. Then the number came down to 4.5. There are some spots where this number is at 3.5 right now for the Bears and Packers. So we have seen a lot of money come in on the Bears, and I'm actually in support of that, guys. I think Akeem Hicks coming back is a big deal. Mitchell Trubisky has started to play better. I don't love this matchup for Aaron Rodgers specifically against this Bears defense, where I think the best way the Packers are going to attack this Bears defense is going to be on the ground with Aaron Jones. And again, Akeem Hicks is going to be back. So I think even that, they'll be able to stop that a little bit here. I think this is going to be a close game. I give the Bears a chance to win the game outright. I think the Packers are not as good as their record indicates. I like the Bears quite a bit to stay inside this number, guys. I think Bears fans could be very happy this weekend with the result at Lambeau Field.
I'm in agreement with you, Nick. I wonder what you think about the total because of the defensive role of both teams. You know, obviously Hicks is back. The Packers' defense is pretty good, and the Bears' offense is not necessarily prolific. What do you think about the over-under?
You know, I don't have a strong opinion on it. Currently sitting right now at 40. So if you like the over, this is a good spot to take it because it's below the key number of 41 right now. I think it comes down to a couple factors and really one above all else. And, you know, Joe Ostrowski, one of your guys' colleagues at 670, the score, one of my co-hosts on You Better, You Bet, we talk about this all the time. Watching Mitch Trubisky last year, it's really cool. Look, he may not be the greatest prototypical quarterback in terms of like, you know, throwing mechanics and all that stuff from the pocket, but he is outstanding with his legs, and it's just something that like it was stunning to watch earlier in the season that they were just refusing. It was either Nagy telling him, you know, like don't run the ball, or Trubisky being gun shy about actually running the ball. Well, we saw that last Thursday against the Dallas Cowboys, and it adds such a dimension to this offense here. So I think if Trubisky can get outside the pocket a little bit, use his legs, you know, move the sticks, I think that's going to be a major boon for this Bears offense here. I guess I lean towards the over a little bit just because I like some of the matchups in the passing game here for the Bears, where I think Allen Robinson could potentially have a big game. He's matchup-proof. He killed the Packers back in week one. With Taylor Gabriel and Javon Wims not expected to play, Anthony Miller's really stepped up. So it's been a nice little stretch here for Ryan Pace, obviously, now that Anthony Miller is starting to play well as well. And he's going to eat against Tremont Williams. Tremont Williams is my age. He ain't going to be able to cover Anthony Miller in the slot. So I think both those guys could have big games. Devontae Adams could have a big game for the Packers potentially. So I lean towards the over. But, again, my preferred play in this game is to take the points with the Bears.
All right. Let's get to college football. The bowl games we'll talk to you about next week unless there's some early bet you want us to jump on. But the Army-Navy, that is a huge game. In part because they're smart enough to play it when nothing else is going on and some of us need action.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. So right now we're looking at Army as a 10.5-point favorite and a total of 40.5. Here's what's interesting about the line in this game. So the game of the year lines that are set before the season, this line was almost flipped. Army was a double-digit favorite. And the total of this game was 44 and is bet all the way down to 40.5. So based on just like that movement, right, literally like almost like a 20-point line movement here, I do think there's value in the midship and in the Knights at this point getting 10.5 points in this game. And as far as the total is concerned, I get the movement down towards the under, down to 40.5. And we had Kenny White, who's one of the best handicappers out in Las Vegas, on You Better, You Bet last night. And what Kenny had to say, I completely agree with here. This game has gone under. The Army-Navy game has gone under 11 straight times. So, of course, the expectation is that's going to happen. But now I think there's some value potentially on the over, given that this line has moved 3.5 or 4 points. So I will begrudgingly close my nose, guys, and I will take the over in Army-Navy. I don't feel great about it, but again, like we're getting 3.5, 4 points of value, so I feel like we have to. So give me the over 40.5 in Army-Navy, and I also would take those 10.5 points with Army.
Back to the NFL, Nick. Who do you like? What are your favorites? And did the Patriots do enough spying on the Bengals to cover?
Oh, boy.
I got it. First, it's like the Patriots-Bengals thing is absolutely hilarious. Like, do your job apparently means cheating. I don't even care if they cheat or not. They're just so good that it really doesn't make a difference. And I say that as a New Yorker, and I have no affinity for Boston sports. So there was sharp money that came in on the Bengals earlier in the week. Patriots opened up at -10.5 in Cincinnati, where they are literally and figuratively on to Cincinnati. The number went down to 9.5. It's now settling around 10. So the number has moved towards the Bengals. I would say that if you want to take Cincinnati in this game, find something else to do with the 3 hours of time. Like flush your money down the toilet. It'll go quicker and it'll be the same exact result. As far as games I like in the NFL this weekend, let's go to the AFC South, guys, for that Texans-Titans game. I think there's a major money-making opportunity in this game. The total has hit 50 or 50.5. So it's moved quite a bit towards the over. I don't care. This number can move another 5 points towards the over, and I would still take it. Look what the Titans like to do on offense. Run the ball with Derrick Henry. That's how you kill this Texans defense post J.J. Watt, since J.J. Watt got hurt. How do you kill this Titans defense? You stretch them vertically down the field. That teams that they've played since Ryan Tannehill's been under center, quite frankly, have been unable to do. I think the Texans are a better team than the Titans here. At some point, this Ryan Tannehill bubble is going to burst. I watched him in Miami for all those years, just like you guys did, just like everyone listening did. And there's no way this guy woke up one day and all of a sudden he's Dan Marino. Like, I give him credit. He's had a nice little stretch here, buoyed by a favorable schedule and a great run game and a stud rookie receiver in A.J. Brown. but I think it comes to an end this weekend. I think the Texans go in there and they win the game coming off the loss to Denver. So give me the Texans getting the 3 points. And I love the over in that game as well. I think this game is played in the 60s, and I think the Texans will beat the Tennessee Titans. That's my favorite game of the week, Houston and Tennessee.
Nick, thanks a ton, buddy. Great catching up with you as always. Appreciate
thanks,
all your
Nick.
Insights.
Good stuff.
Thank you, guys. Let's go Bears this weekend, by the way. I have a bet on them +4. So, Bears. Wishing you guys and all the great people in Chicago minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. That was Radio.com Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com 2019 and get your first refill for free. And again, go check out Nick on You Better You Bet every night on the Radio.com app. Give it a listen. And thank you again, Nick.
What do you think, Espo? He's taking the Bears, too.
I think we got a little Bob Swirsky at the end there. And I'm a little nervous if the Bears number keeps – if the number keeps coming towards the Bears, that means everyone's betting on the Bears.
Yes.
And as a reformed gambler, I know what that means. That means they usually will lose. So I'm hoping everyone is wrong.
The rivalry is important, for sure. The rivalry is very important. But I just feel like where we're at as a team, we're just hungry that whoever's on our schedule the next, we're going to come ready to play. So we're at the point where I think we're playing with confidence. We don't really care who shows up next. It's important that's a rivalry game, but I just sense overall just a hungry team that's pretty focused, and hopefully that drives us to just get better throughout the week and come ready to play on Sunday.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're broadcasting live from the Brat Stop, and it is magnificent. My God, I did a tour of the Brat Stop earlier this morning, David.
And it took you forever.
And it's
big.
This place is huge.
Huge.
But there's banquet rooms back there. You could have a wedding for 600 people.
There was still a party going on when we got here.
Unbelievable.
No, not really.
And that's not true. No. Maybe with you and all of your revelry last night. And I went through the store as well, and they have a blueberry cheese. And I looked, and I'm like, blueberry cheese? Like, I'm sorry. I've heard of different types of cheeses. And the guy said, we have chocolate cheese, too.
Oh, wow.
Oof.
No,
not chocolate
cheese. Don't
knock
it till you try it.
I'm not trying chocolate cheese. You know why? If I fall in love with chocolate cheese, I got bigger problems.
It's over. Yeah.
I had a chance once in my life to go on a private jet with a guy that had a private jet. And we ended up on a private jet, and we went to this place where we wound up at a beautiful restaurant. The guy orders a $700 bottle of wine, and I refuse to drink it. Because that's all I need is to get a taste of that and find out, oh, my God, that's what I have to have. And now I'm like, destitute because of my wine problem.
I would not.
I literally turned it down.
You did drink it, though.
I wouldn't
you
take
did.
A sip.
You tried it.
David, I didn't take a sip for fear that it was like some liquid gold.
I don't think you're going to be
hook me.
Addicted to chocolate cheese if you try just a sliver.
I'm not trying it.
Maybe on the way out.
Trying it because it sounds awful to me, but I also don't want to become a chocolate cheese man. Well, what's your favorite food? I love a good chocolate cheese. Oh, what kind of animal are you, sir?
Mm.
Anyway, it's Packer week, and it's a big week because obviously the rivalry. To me, it's good news. I know you don't agree, but it's good news that it's noon on Sunday, not just for our lifestyle because we tend to get up early and go to bed early because of the shift. But also because it's not in prime time, where over the last 10 years, the Bears have played the Packers in prime time and created a 2-8 record in those 10 games.
They don't have a quarterback that's very good in prime time. Now, he did play well against the Cowboys, but that's not when Mitch Trubisky's at his best. This is when it should be noon on a Sunday at Lambeau Field. And I think it's going to be one of those throwback games where both defenses play pretty well. And the Akeem Hicks coming back to the Bears defensive line. The Packers defense is dangerous as well. I mean, Mike Pettine has done a terrific job with this group. They have the two free agents that they went out, and the Smiths. And they both have double digit sacks, and they have to be a
What's
concern.
What's that like, by the way?
Having a guy with double digit sacks
must be nice, huh?
It's a challenge for the Bears offensive line, but again, we talk a lot about what is different about Mitch Trubisky this time around. The Bears offensive line's very different the second time around, too. because of injury, because of ineffectiveness, they had to make some changes. But this is not the same group that the Packers saw in week one. You've got Cody Whitehair playing center now. You've got James Daniels at left guard. Kyle Long's not around. You've got a converted defensive lineman in Rashad Coward. And at right tackle, you got Cornelius Lucas, who fills it out.
Could you say that the Bears' offensive line might be a little extra motivated? You talk about the two new guys, right? I mean, these guys are playing for, like, bigger NFL.
Future.
I mean, so they stepped up huge against the Cowboys. You expected Mitch to have a ton of trouble against that front four. I mean, at least I did going into that game.
I think your right side of the line, if you're the Bears, the offensive line, is playing every snap like it could be their last game in the league.
Absolutely.
Because it could be.
And you want that.
It could be.
That helps.
There's an air of desperation there.
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, if you think about it, Kyle Long's not coming back, right?
Nope.
We know that.
Right.
So is Cowart the right guard going forward?
Ask me in January.
All right.
Well, he might be the future on that right side. Now, he might end up, he could shift out a little bit, right?
But I really like what Lucas Cornelius has managed to do, right? Has anybody followed him at all? I mean, the guy is 6'8", 335
He's a very
pounds.
Interesting prospect. And he has a
very
chemistry.
Long arm.
He's long arms. He's got, I mean, not that it matters, but his chemistry with Cody Whitehair is, I think, makes him feel more comfortable in that offensive line room, in that unit. They were roommates in college, and the guy that I think it actually Whitehair replaced him at Kansas State. And it was one of those things where you didn't expect to have to count on him this year. But he has been better than expected. Maybe he, but that's a good point. They're playing for their NFL, careers almost every Sunday. So I don't know that you can answer that right now.
I love that, though. I love that these guys are really laying it all on the line. I mean, because you're right. I mean, now maybe when they get the big money, they'll be a little bit more careful. But right now, they have to prove every single snap that they belong here.
Well, and Bobby Massey is out, and we haven't talked about it, which tells you something about the performance level of the guy replacing him. We talked about the shifting of the guard in the center. Is that a long-term deal? Is that a short-term deal? Will they eventually go back to the way things were? James Daniel, very young.
Not if Mitch is the quarterback.
My sense is Dustin's exactly right.
Yeah.
If Mitch is your answer at quarterback, then your center is going to be Cody Whitehair.
Personal center.
And Tom Thayer talked about that again last night on Bears All Access. There's almost like this understanding that they made the change because Mitch needed something that was going to trigger a change in his play, a change in his comfort level.
Yeah.
Because his comfort level, everything about Mitch Trubisky this year has been about, we talked about it yesterday, his confidence, his psyche, his mental approach.
Yes.
So give him his personal center, kind of like a pitcher has his personal catcher every fifth day. Cody Whitehair is going to play center as long as Mitch Trubisky's the quarterback. That's my sense.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I'm just wondering, what Dustin said is an extraordinary statement. We're talking about an offensive line with four players moved on it. Not one or two, four different players than the first time you played. So mano a mano, the guy you went against, everyone except Chuck Leno is different on the offensive line, even if it is two guys swapping spots. Mm-hmm. How that's not supposed, that's far from ideal.
Well,
that is not it. And again, it brings me back to the argument about if the inside linebackers are as good as the inside linebackers were before, then why are you spending so much money on the inside linebackers? If you make a change with the two safeties, and this happened years ago with the Bears, where two guys came in and played just as well as the two guys, then why would you pay anyone anything? You're not supposed to be able to do that, and it is possible that the offensive line is better than it was.
Well, that's not a high bar to clear either.
That's
because when you broke Bourbonnais, you felt like that was a group that was going to be a strength of your team. You felt like you had a veteran group that you had paid and to retain them, to extend them. You had Whitehair and Daniels, you thought, at the right spots moving forward. And we can debate, and we have all season long, whether or not the biggest disappointment has been Matt Nagy calling plays or Mitch Trubisky executing them. But you could make the argument, and I think I have at some point during the season, the most disappointing unit on that offense has been the offensive line because everything starts there. They can't run the ball. They couldn't protect for a while.
Yep.
These changes, I thought that they would be exposed more against the Cowboys defensive front than they were. But get back to how we started this conversation. Cornelius Lucas and Rashad Coward have been better on the right side, I think, than people are giving them credit for being.
Can I just throw in the tight end as the most disappointing position? Just because I think we did that when we had that initial conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it bears repeating. When your Ivy Leaguers are better than your starter, that is just an indictment. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it always throws me back to what we said about a month ago.
Yeah.
Can the Bears stop getting their tight ends from the Ivy League and getting their football executives from the Ohio Valley Conference?
That's so mean.
One casual Bear fan asked me, I didn't know the Ivy League even played sports.
they don't give scholarships, right? Isn't that what it is?
I don't think you have athletic scholarships in the Ivy League.
Yeah, they're academic. They're like academic scholarships with like book. They can give you like room and board, but they can't give you the tuition part of it or something like that. There's like a weird. I'm sure somebody knows exactly. There's probably an Ivy League.
Depends what your parents do.
All right. My daughter was wearing a Northwestern sweatshirt, and some guy was talking to her in high school, and he said, are you going to an Ivy League school? You're wearing that shirt? And she's like, no, I'm not going to an Ivy League school. Northwestern's in the Big Ten. And the guy is like, really? And I'm like, if that guy thinks Northwestern's in the Ivy League, then he's not going to an Ivy League school either.
It's a Harvard
or
the Midwest.
Or a Big Ten school for that matter.
Well, there you go. That's right. All right. So we talk about this game. We talk about the difference in it. Are they better at tight end, David? Is that a position that is now suddenly open in the field
You know why they're probably better at tight end? Number one, they have no expectation there. But number two, they play their tight end more as a fullback at times. And this team, when they do have the tendency, and Matt Nagy sort of gets lost in the game and goes into the I formation every now and then and does things kind of against his better judgment, you use your tight end as an extra blocker. You don't use him. He's not really a threat in the passing game. What you've described about Horsted and Holtz and Broniker, they've made some big catches over the last couple weeks.
Broniker's still out, right?
Yeah, Broniker's still out. But he had, you think of guys who have, stepped up a little bit, but they've not been a factor in the passing game. We can count the big plays.
Seven catches last week at the tight end position. And again, that's a lot for the Bears. I mean, they haven't done that in a while.
When you rank
Holtz,
things,
right? Holtz was the
seven
guy.
To seven.
JP Holtz, yeah. But when you're listing things that should scare the Packers or will kind of concern Mike Pettine, how far down do you go before you get to the tight end?
I mean, here's what I'm saying. You're better on the offensive line. We just agreed on that. You're better at the quarterback because he's got confidence. You're probably better on the game caller, the play caller, because he's figured out that he can't keep calling the plays he wants to call. You're better at the tight end position. I'm just trying to go.
You're better
at
running back because David Montgomery has more experience, and you're not trying to force feed the ball to Mike Davis, a free agent mistake that you never should have signed, who carried the ball, I think, five times in the opener against the Packers.
So you're number one, that goes back to the play caller as much as it does the running back. And you're right, Mike Davis carried the ball, seven times in that game or six times in that game? More than David Montgomery did. But you're better pretty much all the way around offensively, and they're worse on defense. That defense that played in the first game of the season was a huge surprise. Remember Aaron Rodgers after the game saying, we have a defense. Their numbers have gone down defensively, and they're allowing a lot of rushing yards of late in their last four or five games. So it's an interesting sort of, we believe the Bears are better on offense and the Packers worse on defense. I guess the question is, are the Bears as good as they were on defense? We're thinking that Akeem Hicks coming back means yes, but I'm still wondering what that means for Akeem.
I think it will be better on defense, but I think the question will come down to the Packers will invite the Bears to run the football. Will they RSVP? You just don't trust Matt Nagy to do so.
All right. We are we're live at the Brat Stop, which, of course, 12305 75th Street here in Kenosha. We're right off. We're on Route 50. Just take a right instead of a left when you get off the 294. Come join us. There's beautiful. They got a bratwurst omelet. Who's had it? Anyone have the brat omelet? We have a brat omelet. Good? Really? Okay.
Egg von Brat, I think it is.
They have all sorts of bratwurst type options. And don't forget the chocolate cheese on your way out.
And the blueberry
cheese.
For
the love of God. Yeah. And it's presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. Visit KenoshaSubaru.com for details. It is Biggs time next. We'll bring in our buddy Brad Biggs. Mullion Haw on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.